There we go. I think we are back. Yep, we're back.
Okay.
And you're back.
I am.
You're back. Yep,
I didn't go anywhere.
it's Kermit the Frog night. So let's put Kermit up. There's Kermit and Elmo. Reminds me of Tickle Me Elmo, the toy. And when my girls were little, that was all the rage. Tickle Me Elmo, and there were fights in the malls over the last Elmo in the toy store and all that
Gosh,
nonsense.
I think the last I had all boys, so I didn't get involved, but I remember the Cabbage Patch rage,
Oh, yeah.
the Cabbage Patch Kids, and then when McDonald's was coming out with all those little stuffed animal characters. Anyway, yeah, we all get drawn into that. Our
Yeah.
children loved certain things, and we do what we could to get them, so.
So thank you. There was someone that posted this picture in band, and so I thought I should put it up tonight. So I apologize for missing the last live stream. The voice is recovering slowly but surely. I'm rocking the plaid, so to speak, again with the colder temperatures here in New Hampshire, and again talking to the locals that have been here for a long time. They're saying we're going to have a long, cold winter and a lot of snow.
We get ours in other ways. I was speaking to Jen today, which I posted to all of you in band about, and she being in the Cape Coral area, and another one of our
Subscribers.
subscribers in band also lives in that area. So, and I spoke to both of them today on the phone, and put Jen in contact with our realtor who helped us sell my home and purchase this one, who moved to Florida. She is in the next town over. She's in Fort Myers as well. So I'm hoping that those two can work out, whatever
And
needs to be done to help Jen
just
and her family.
describe what happened to our realtor's home.
Well, she was more inland,
Right.
so all that happened to her. Well, when we prayed for, those that we know down there and for her. And she only had, I don't know what, she only had a minor thing fly off her house. Her roof is intact, no windows were broken, and a few trees were uprooted in her area.
That was our realtor.
Yeah, she was in a place, I think it's called Gateway or something like that. So it's not too far, about 15 miles, 15, 20 miles perhaps, I think is what Jen said from where she is. But definitely, it looks like an absolute war zone over a huge area. And in speaking with Cindy today, she described it very well. She said, I'm used to living in a first world country, not a third world country. And here is a woman who is a school teacher. Her daughter is a school teacher. They just bought a house together. There are four grandchildren all in the same house. And this happens. So it may be that, we come to folks if there are needs. Really, at this point, you can't even mail them anything. I had suggested that they go out and get either a UPS box, maybe a few towns over, buy one for a month or so, and that way if we need to ship anything, because the postal service down in that area, no telling when that's going to be back up.
I don't think in the postal motto it includes a category for hurricane.
But we will definitely keep you posted, on how it is that we can help them. I have asked them to please tell us if they need anything, if they need money for food, if they need certain supplies. We can maybe do what we did for these two women and their families. And Jen has a daughter with special needs, so she said to me this morning, I used my last clean sheet, and she's trying to figure out how it is that she can do laundry. And they're getting very creative, hanging clothes to dry on trees, tree limbs, and you know, her taking from a, she had an above ground pool that she was taking water out of and boiling and using, not to drink or anything, but, you know, for washing clothes and stuff like that. I mean, they are seeing. She said, I thought, this, not Jen, but Cindy said, I thought I was a prepper. I thought I knew how to prepare for this. You know, we all have in our mind, oh, we've got this, we've got that, we've got, you know, 10-year food shelf life supplies, and but when it hits you and you have no power and no communication, mm-hmm. text messages were going through sporadically. She said they seem to have gotten better. As of this afternoon, Jen said she's able to get more things and she's been able to answer me more consistently. But, you know, they're trying to get gasoline. Jen was saying her husband, I think, was in line for 5 hours. It was either 5 hours to get gas or 5 hours to get water. And he, when he got in line at the gas station, he said there had to be 50 cars in front of him. So, you know, we take things for granted. And she said, you know, we need gas for our generator. We didn't have a gas can. Things like that, you know, that they need to remember to get. So there could be a lot of lessons learned from this, because we think we're prepared and we're not, you know. And I had suggested that maybe, you know, to get a month, paid by the month membership at a health club, because they do have a truck and it's filled now and they can go to stores to do, you know, further out though from where they are. But maybe go to a health club and get a membership for a month or two while you, so you have some place where you can go to shower, you know, and take care of things. It is, it really puts things in perspective, and it's not going to get better. These storms are going to intensify, because we know that this is the time. Whether there's no way for us to absolutely know whether or not these things are being manipulated. We can surmise and suspect that they probably are. But nonetheless, they're hitting with great intensity. They're not going to lessen. And the world is going to start rocking, if you will. As the Lord said, it's going to teeter in its orbit. And, you know, you cannot manipulate God's natural course of anything, not the human body, not elements in the atmosphere, without there being catastrophic outcomes. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember, again, in Jurassic Park when they talked about the chaos theory, you know, if a butterfly flaps its wings in Africa and causes, you know, a hurricane around the world, or, you know.
You mean that eminent philosopher?
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum?
Right. But I use that only to make a point, and that is that whenever man tries to play God and thinks that they can make better his creation, and they start manipulating and using their own intelligence to do so, they are calling to trouble and devastation. And if we see this working out in our environment, what does that mean for those who have allowed science to manipulate the core of who they are, their design, their genome? What have they done? And I think we're beginning to see that. Yep. And still, a lot of it is being kept silent so that we have no idea of the numbers involved.
Well, it brings to mind the title of this month's October edition of Entangled Magazine, which is Transformation. Mm-hmm. And I bring up, this is a running commentary, I have a few scientific papers as evidence that's woven into it, but this month is a long commentary. And, you know, we kind of go back and forth between publishing, publishing a lot of scientific evidence with a little bit of commentary to introduce it to mostly commentary with a little bit of evidence to support it, and that's what we're doing this month. And the complexity factor is the way I would sum it up, that the complexity of the transformations that are already underway, the complexity of the transformations that will continue until Jesus returns, are completely unpredictable by science.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if we, and we're not afraid of being labeled whatever they want to call us, but if men are manipulating, and we know they have the capability, I mean, they had the ability to heat up the core of a hurricane, to intensify it by using infrared from outer space. Yeah, laser.
Basically directed energy weapons.
Yes.
We have seen microwave bursts that would mm-hmm. spawn a hurricane.
Yep. And if we're seeing that type of devastation and intensifying of storms because they have started, again, when you start a process with the weather, you can't change it back to the way it was before. You can't just switch it off and say, okay, we're done. No, you have permanently changed a course.
Yep.
So that it will never be the same again, and you don't know what's coming.
And yet the insanity of it is they continue to apply the same courses of action, thinking that there will be a different outcome.
Right. Well, they're predicting that they can overcome all these things.
Yep.
And now we see the devastation that's happening from that. What is going to happen to humankind? If the outworking by weather manipulation is now resulting in storms that, I mean, we are going to start seeing earthquakes that average 8.0. I remember saying to my son, Ian, when he was going to school to be a meteorologist, and that's what he graduated, that's what his degree was
now,
in.
Now, there's a true point of irony. Please repeat your son's name and what he was studying in college, what he got his degree in.
Oh, Ian, meteorology. Yeah, and I said to him, this was so many years ago, I said, Ian, and he has not gone into forecasting. He took a totally different course, but who knows? You never know how life is going to bring you back around to things at some point. But I said, there's going to be a time where forecasters and meteorologists are going to sit down and accumulate data, and they're nearly going to spit out their coffee when they see some of these storms that are going to be coming that are yet uncategorized. You know, category 6 and 7 tornadoes. And I'm not saying this to fear monger. This is what's going to happen because they started a process they no longer have control over. It's just like, again, Jurassic Park. When the woman who was the blonde-haired woman, Laura, whatever her name was, and she, I think it was Laura, and she's talking to the founder and creator of Jurassic Park, and she said, that power is out now. It's unleashed, and you can't bring it back. You don't know what's going to happen going forward. But Satan will give you directives and promise you that you're going to have control over the winds, the waves, and you don't. You don't. You were sold a bill of goods, and now you have destroyed the very delicate balance that God created.
Yeah.
And everything affects everything else. Yes. Humanity will be affected by these storms because we have to bear the brunt of deadly, you know, winds and waves raging.
Yep.
But when humanity starts experiencing their devastation, which is going to be tremendous loss of life because of the genetic manipulations, that too works in an unbalanced fashion. That's going to the world is going to be unbalanced, humanly speaking. It's going to be unbalanced, you know, with respect to the the atmosphere and the weather, everything is going to be out of kilter. And that's not a stretch to say that.
No, and we illustrate that in the scientific papers this month, because not only the complexity is highlighted in these papers, but the unpredictability of it and the inability to accurately forecast. They use language that is very much borrowed from meteorology. So I would say in their discussions of human internal systems that they want to augment, that they want to manipulate in terms of genes and proteins, we end up with a human body that's in a state of turmoil, much like a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it will be unpredictable.
Yeah.
It will change its course without rhyme or reason.
And it will be worse and worse as time goes on.
We were talking about this whole awake movement. Mm. And if they're promoting an awake movement, the awake that they're speaking to the general population, we've often referred to it as people having the attention span of a goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
And this month's cover, just when I saw this photo, I said, this speaks volumes. And I said to you, what do you see when you look at this?
Mm-hmm.
I said, and what do you think of it for the cover of this month's magazine, given what it is that we're going to be speaking to? The awoke or awake movement is not awake in the sense of what Christians are experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
We're experiencing the awareness by way of the Holy Spirit to both the physical realm and the spiritual realm.
Right.
We can absolutely see that those who are in mainline denominations and remaining in them after they've been vaccinated and their churches have hosted these vaccination clinics in their own parking lots,
yeah,
many of them,
yeah,
they are not awake in the sense of God claiming awareness or giving us the understanding of his awareness. It's obvious that, I didn't know if you were going to show it or not.
Here it is.
Yeah. It's obvious that the general population who have the attention span, many, not all, of a goldfish, are claiming that they are awake now. But really what they're experiencing is just a more intensifying understanding of the corruptness of the political realm.
Mm-hmm.
And the inconsistency of the scientific realm and the ineptness in the medical realm,
yep,
to be able to do anything to curb what's been happening. And so their being awake is simply to the evil that's happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of what I was saying to you about God giving them an awareness and hearts failing for fear of what's coming upon the earth. They are awakening to the understanding and seeing the evil that's happening in this world. And that's what's going to scare them.
Yeah.
And it's going to ramp up. And so they're thinking that they need to move from their current position, like this little goldfish here, and they need to unite by getting together and being bigger and stronger, and they're uniting to fight this evil in the world, this political system and its corruptness. So they're all going to jump into a bigger bowl and they're all going to unite under this awake movement. But they are not awake in the sense of with the knowledge, the life-saving knowledge that Jesus Christ has given us. They are awake to a political system that, yes, it's been corrupt, but it's gone to a whole new level. This is a global level now. It's not just the United States having Biden as an inept president. We as Christians don't even really look at politics. And that's not because we're ostriches putting our heads in the sand. This is not a battle. This world kingdom is not a battle that we are going to fight in. Because we all know that it's not a new political appointment that's going to change this world around. This is a global problem. In London, England, they have no respect for Prince Charles and Camilla, no matter how you want to dress him up and stick a crown on his head. The man is an adulterer. You know, he said, anyway. So that's just Great Britain. But it's happening in France. It's happening in Canada. It's happening all over the world. Everybody is experiencing, Russia, they hate Putin. China's no different.
Mm-hmm.
All of these world leaders are purposely being put front and center and set up to fail. Why? Only to make the Antichrist look even greater.
Yeah, to bring in their solution. Something that a few of our subscribers have sent to us just in the last few days are videos of doctors who formerly were pro-vaccine, who are now, quote, blowing the whistle. They're speaking against the vaccines. They want vaccine programs to be halted. And yet these same videos that are calling for the halting, saying that the vaccines are dangerous, that there have been, you know, excessive rates of death, morbidity and mortality rates have increased. We shared a couple of weeks ago the report coming out of Germany that specifies this, a German government documents in which the German government, their health ministry, is openly saying that there are directly attributed to the vaccines excessive rates of death that correspond in terms of statistical numbers and graphing of the numbers. The peak of vaccination equates to a peaking of deaths. That's coming out of the German government's mouth. Now on YouTube, you have people that are saying the things that we said on YouTube over 4 years ago, before we even started talking about COVID. But then we started, you know, really hitting on COVID in January of 2020, and we were banned.
Mm-hmm. Almost immediately.
And with no warning. Yeah. And so it begs the question.
Before banning was popular.
how is it that YouTube is allowing what you would consider back when you and I were on YouTube, a dissenting voice to be heard today on YouTube, and yet it is not censored by YouTube?
Right.
So you have to ask the question. Why is the dissenting voice dissenting to the mainstream narrative that went before? Why is it being allowed to be heard now? Because it serves the purpose. And the purpose we outlined a couple of weeks ago, and the purpose is leading to the final solution. We painted the big picture of pharmaceutical companies, it being revealed, the snake venom that you brought to the world in June of 2020, the components of snake venoms, the adverse effects of snake venoms, we published the papers demonstrating that fact. It was in June and then August and then October, we published the scientific peer-reviewed papers. But now, this dissent against vaccines, not specifically because of snake venom, but it's beginning. It's beginning to be allowed, that dissenting voice. It should soon be followed by revelations of snake venom components, proteases, in the vaccines, all of them. This leads to their solution, the final solution, as we're calling it. A singular vaccine delivered by a microneedle array patch that even those that have been anti-vaxxers could possibly be swayed into thinking, oh, this one is safe. And we have published last month, September, and before that, microneedle array, or the messenger RNA that is now evolving over into subunit protein vaccines that contain metalloproteases from snake venom, the Matrix M adjuvant, that it now will be promoting a solution not only, and we shared the paper that stated, we now have a vaccine that will address all present variants and future anticipated variants. We published it for SARS-CoV-2. And that is going to be promoted under the banner of a subunit protein that is promoted as having an adjuvant that has been used for years. That adjuvant is Matrix M. It is a metalloprotease. It is an anti-venom ingredient used as an adjuvant. It will be pushed that they are revealing, oh, we just found out that there's snake venom components, proteases, in the vaccines. We have a new vaccine that will address all the variants and future variants. It's a different kind of vaccine. It's a subunit. It has a proven safe and effective adjuvant, and which is anti-venom, and therefore we will address all the existing concerns to the previous vaccines, and we're going to make it even more convenient for everyone. We'll put it in microneedle ray patch. You no longer have to have an injection by a hypodermic in a needle, hypodermic needle in a syringe. So it covers all the bases. We've already seen now the mainstream narrative is shifting and beginning down that path that I just laid out. All of the other steps will follow on very quickly now, leading to the patch.
Are you done?
Yep.
Okay. When we read in scripture, and it says concerning Satan to Jesus, he will strike your heel and you will crush his head. They're talking about the serpent, and it was only maybe a month ago that I posted something in Band with that statue that shows Christ crushing the head of the serpent. But it does say, now nowhere in scripture do we ever read that Jesus was bitten by a snake. So we have to assume that that is allegorical. That the people that he has come to save are going to experience Satan injecting his poison into human beings. So much so that it's going to require Jesus to crush his power. And that is what's going to happen. And so I think you really need to have spiritual eyes to even see behind the scenes. I have even more information about snake venom and papers and video that I'm going to give to our people in Band. Again, not because I don't think that they don't believe us. It's not a matter of believing us, Anthony and Kathleen. It's a matter of believing what has been done to uncover what they're doing and how they try to cover over to make it look like they're closing the door for anybody to be able to say that they can't take this vaccine. I mean, they're making it all but sound like it's a health cocktail. This quil something, saponaria.
The soap part.
That they're using. Q-U-I-L-L-A-J-A. Quilia? I don't know. I don't know how you pronounce that. We have to remember to ask Sylvia next time we speak to her how you pronounce that. But nonetheless, that has been used as an anti-venom, specifically against that Bothra jararaca snake that we
Carlo Brogna cited in his papers.
Exactly. So but people have to understand that this is at the peptide level. Same string of peptides found in animal venoms. And so this is not a stretch, and we just simply, and you know what? We can walk away from it and they can squelch it if they want to. But if we keep in mind what Scripture tells us about Satan biting Jesus' heel, Jesus is representative of God's children.
Well, we're the body of Christ.
And so we know that Satan is going to attack and inject a part of himself to try and kill humankind. So wouldn't it make sense that Satan then comes in and says, oh no, but wait, I have a solution to this. I have the anti-venom.
Yep.
And so this, I think this one has to be seen with spiritual eyes and heard with spiritual ears. And yet there is physical, scientific, if for those, not that they've listened to us thus far. They've denied it. I had a son that says, Mom, I believe in the science. But yet if you were to take the science and put these papers in front of them, no, get it away from me. That's, you're a conspiracy theorist. No, I don't want to hear that. Conspiracy theorist. These are actual scientists and biologists and geneticists that are telling you what's happening.
From well-known from well-known universities, familiar universities, that someone that puts their faith in science would recognize these institutions and say, well, if they're endorsing this research and the findings, the outcome, as they say, there is now a movement away from empirical research, empirical meaning experimentation, and we're focused on vaccines in biology, over to what they, and it's so ridiculous, but now they call it rational design. It should be called irrational design, but rational design, because now it is based on purely mathematics, which means it's purely digital research. It's purely a computer based form of research rather than testing it on rats, testing it on mice, testing it on primates, and testing it on humans. They do all of that in silico in the computer, as we have talked about for years and years. And I published that in the magazine this month, defining empirical and rational, because they want to claim what they're doing with these vaccines is rational. No, it isn't.
What they are doing, if we can see the bigger picture. As we go forward, you and I have often said, focus on what they term life sciences.
Mm-hmm.
That doctors going forward are going to have to study at much deeper levels genetics.
Yep.
Because we are moving away from the way men did medicine years ago.
Yep.
They're completely bypassing that. And Satan has given them the ability to now map the human genome and go right after the actual, what makes that person who they are. Made, designed by the Creator God, mm-hmm. but now they're going to be manipulated. You're going to go in now, and they're going to be able to, if you've had this vaccine, they're going to be able to take your genome, put it into the computer, because everybody's genome is going to be in there. That's part of this. And they're going to be able to say to the computer, okay, show me where this is breaking down or where that's breaking down. The computer's going to be able to run all these iterations of the DNA to find where this problem lies. And then they're going to say, what do we do about it? And the computer's going to spit out all of these probabilities. And they're going to pick the one that most closely matches. And they're going to move your ACs and TGs around.
Yep.
Which, they're going to do it for this problem. You're going to feel better for about a day. And then you go home. But your DNA, which keeps moving and keeps moving and keeps replicating, is only going to be taking on more false genetic information. And it's going to crash eventually. It's going to spin out of control. because it's not on God's platform anymore. They're going to be relying on the computer, the image that that person is now made in. Because once they do it once, they're his.
Yep.
They're in the computer, and now it's up to the computer and all of its models to come up with the solution for any problem that appears in your body, from the common cold to, you know, there's going to be even more cancers coming out. Although they're going to say, for funding purposes, this, we have the answer for cancer. We have the answer for HIV. But what they're really doing is taking more and more ground of your genetic code, because once they gave this vaccine, that was the starting process. Now, as things begin to creep in and you're not feeling so good and you get some aches and some pains and, oh, well, it looks like you've got arthritis. Arthritis? Well, yeah. And they're going to come up with all these different diagnoses, because changing that one section will only catapult that person's body in whatever health direction they were predisposed to and get them there a lot faster. So then they have to take care of that problem. But that triggers something else. So then they got to go back to the geneticist. It's like going back to the fortune teller. What do I do now? Okay, well, let me see. Let me put your genetic code in and see what the computer says. Why? Because the person is now made in the image of the beast. Their genome is in there, and it's up to the quantum computers to determine, based on all of the different criteria, what it is that's going to best fix, how they can come pretty close to fixing. But they'll never, ever. God didn't come close. He created you, and it was perfect.
It was unique.
I mean, look at when he created everything. Look in Genesis, and God saw that it was good.
Yep.
What is happening to humans now is not God and is not good.
I need to take a short break.
Okay.
We'll be right back, folks. The sound will still be on. I'll be right back.
You know, while Anthony is away, and this is off, maybe I can turn it on, because I wanted to share with you something. I feel like a little intermission. So let me see if I can do this. I'll just come over here. And I wanted to read to you. I love poetry, and I have not posted anything really. I haven't really written anything new in a long time. It's one of those things that you want to get back to it, but with the two dogs now, I just don't seem to make the time to do it. But there was something that I wrote, a poem that I wrote years ago, and I think I did post it in band on one of our Poetry Tuesdays. But in light of what has been happening in Florida and the winds and seas raging, this came to me as I was getting ready for tonight's live stream, and I thought I'd just share it with you. And you may recall, it's called Toll at Sea. Sitting atop warm grains of sand, knees drawn up, chin in hand, I bask in this universal place of solitude as the ocean's shores draw men to clear one's mind and contemplate life, or to simply let hearts mend. A gift to us, no charge is asked, to meditate in blissful peace on land. Tranquil breezes, rhythmic waves, wash gently over nature's boundaries drawn. Off depths of blue does morning sun glisten and calm. Its temperament is placid, tame, raw beauty that does charm. Till storms and winds do churn its depths and unleash fury spawn. Of respect and fear does it demand, this powerful dichotomy, From its waters men draw resources. Over its vastness travelers roam. At times the price for passage is the life to us on loan. A watery grave, the toll to pay from an unremorseful sea. As inhabitants above the earth, we are alien to the world below, our sight limited by the horizon, while the imagination ponders what lay beneath, its many conquests not divulged, nor its victories bequeathed. For its silence offers comfort, its only sympathetic show. And I was saying that in light of what has happened to some of our family, extended online family in Florida, that this took on new meaning for me tonight, you know, about the ocean and the respect that we need to have for that. And as an aside, please don't let politics lure you in. I was reading tonight as I'm trying to help Jen find some information about services in her area or surrounding areas. She was looking for a press conference that supposedly took place today for Lee County or Cape Coral. And we were having a hard time. I was having a hard time looking under press conferences under Lee County or Cape Coral. And I began to see, campaign machine is going to come against DeSantis, and they're trying now to accuse him of not telling the people of Cape Coral, where supposedly 30 people have been found dead, in time to get them out. And I hope that people here will see that that is just a ploy once again to cause division against a man who at least publicly has professed to, to be on the side of the people and this vaccine and immigration, which would go against the liberals in Congress and their plans. But again, we have to see this for what it is, and that is the, publicity machine, machine that they call it, is in full force trying to diss this man.
Well, it's a propaganda.
Propaganda machine, yes, is in full force to try and diss what he is doing. And so, I don't know him personally. I can't speak for him. I've only heard from those who live in the state who seem to be, I guess, given all of the political figures that are in our different states, he appears to be somebody that has the confidence of many in that state. That's all I know. But, so that was it. I thought I would just take a little diversion while you left the room to share that.
Our scripture for tonight is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, but I'll read several other verses from chapter 2. We go back to our brief mention of attention.
Yeah, of a goldfish.
We must pay closer attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every transgression and disobedience received is just punishment, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? This salvation was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, and was affirmed by God through signs, wonders, various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. For it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but somewhere it is testified in these words, "What is a man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and placed everything under his feet. When God subjected all things to him, he left nothing outside of his control. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So we can go on with that, but that focus, that paying attention, we've alluded to or even openly cited so many times. We've even cited, you know, that even the elect could possibly be deceived. This is why we pay attention to biology, something that, yeah, I had some semblance of understanding in biology, but the extent that we all together here have made this deep dive into biology and the world in general, talk about a paradigm change. Most of the world was more concerned with American football, European football, basketball, baseball, movies, television. That's what people talked about. All of a sudden it was biology, and it continues to be biology. Mm-hmm. We never expected that that would be the course that we would be going with our research and our presentations, but obviously this is the number one agenda item, and this is reflected in last week's live stream on Tuesday, the executive order from the President of the United States that this is an all of government, all of nation executive order to convert businesses, a population at large, to focus on biology, genetic engineering, and biomanufacturing. So I'd say that pretty well proves that the number one topic for all of humanity is biology. Can't escape it. So when he says we need to pay attention, we pay attention to biology.
Well, again, and to reiterate what we have said about peace and safety does not necessarily mean peace because of a lack of war. Peace can mean, and I believe more so, peace of mind. Safety can only mean protection of the human body. You know, yes, you can keep other things safe, but when you use the word safety, it is connected to the understanding of keeping a human safe. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you thus have peace of mind.
Yep.
So I think we need to, you know, again, continue to just draw nearer to the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to be taken in by this propaganda that everybody has an angle on it. They're using part truth, a little bit, we say 90-10, you know, where it sounds almost right, and then they slip in this new age, you know, Kabbalistic thinking.
And I bring in Kabbalism and quantum mechanics again in this month's issue of the magazine. This month's issue is something that, again, based upon conversations we've had by phone and Skype with many of you, emails that we receive, a common question is, what magazines, what issues of the magazine, one or more, could you suggest that I could share with my brother, my sister, my uncle, my wife, my husband, whatever? And that's a difficult one because they build upon one another. They build and they build and they build. So what I tried to encapsulate as a summary is the present situation we're in. Summarize the present. Rather than trying to summarize all that we've gone through, sort of a state of the nation report is what this month's issue is. So we are talking about transformation of the human body, augmentation of the human body, immunomics, which really takes in all of this genetic engineering and biomanufacturing, immunomics, which we introduced last week. We are bringing in the most influential subjects. And something else that I've not spoken of before directly, maybe one little comment here and there, But directly I address in this month's issue what you might want to consider from the name Ray Kurzweil, who works for Google. He is labeled and self-proclaimed as a futurist, which I love, because unless you're a prophet of God, you are not going to predict the future accurately. You might get a smattering of things sort of close. You might get those approximations. If you've got your D-Wave quantum computer, you may get your approximations.
They can be false prophets.
But when I read, over the years, I've probably read hundreds of papers from futurists. I read, over the course of this last week, many more current, more present futurists' statements and interviews. The common thread, of course, is that it's all secular. They're viewing the paradigm, they're viewing the future devoid of God. There's no mention of God in these papers, these position papers, these predictions. There's no mention of God. Therefore, there's no discernment through the Holy Spirit provided to them to tell them of the future. We certainly do not set ourselves up to be prophets in any manner, shape, or form. That's not where I'm heading with this. But devoid of salvation, devoid of faith in God, devoid of acknowledging that God is our creator, how can you predict the future? And so not only are futurists grossly inaccurate, but you have to do the patch 180. It's interesting. If you have so-called futurists who predict future events unfolding, and the most commonly used date that you see tossed around is 2030 because of the UN 2030 agenda, Agenda 2030. If they are predicting between now and 2030, it's because, we said this a couple of months ago, it's because it's prescribed. It's planned. Now, that does not mean they have full control over the future. But if futurists are talking about augmentation, which is in the magazine this month, if they're talking about transforming humanity, it's by design. It's by prescription. So if you are privy to that design, to that prescription, then how difficult is it to predict the future? Because it's a script, you read the script, and then as a Ray Kurzweil, for example, and many others, Michio Kaku and all the others, they put out there in the media, and they say, oh, learned professor, tell us. Learned scientist, oh, tell us. Well, they're given access to the plan. And so when the futurists speak of the future, it does not mean that it's accurate, even though they're privy to the plan, because it's not God's plan, therefore it will never be accurate. But the other is, it's short-lived, because Jesus Christ is soon to return. Otherwise, no man would survive. He's cutting short the days. And Satan knows he has but a short time. Again, these are scriptures that I reference in this month's magazine. So there's no 2030. There's no 2025. I mean, we go back to CERN briefly. They want to go to their high luminosity collider in 2026. CERN won't exist in 2026. It'll be destroyed. long before then, destroyed by Jesus Christ himself. See, we're in the tribulation. I think most of you have heard us say that many, many times. And I have a sense that most of you agree with that statement. I think, in fact, and Kathleen has reinforced this to me, this whole notion of a reset is mid-trib. This whole post-reset and the revealing of the identity of the Antichrist is mid-trib. All of the actions of the mark of the beast have been delivered into, all the ingredients have already been delivered into the majority of humanity, so there's no reversing that, just as Kathleen pointed out. Therefore, that puts us mid-trib. The full activation of these components of the mark of the beast is post-mid-trib reset. Full activation, 5G and 6G, from low Earth orbit satellites broadcasting to 1 square foot of the entire planet's surface. Forget about cell towers. Forget about all of the earthly terrestrial transmission of Wi-Fi. It will all be beamed from space. Go ahead.
I believe that these so-called futurists are false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Elons, Jordy Roses, Kurzweils, Bezos, you know, all of these. I mean, I know that he is,
mm-hmm,
with respect to Amazon, but they're false prophets. And Satan is using them to push full steam ahead with his outlandish ideas, of which he is not going to be able to complete them all to the degree. All of them are probably in play at some point, to a degree or another.
Yeah.
But he will never be able to accomplish to the full extreme what he thinks he is capable of accomplishing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to be cut off at an unknown time and an unknown hour. Jesus was cut off very young, 33. Satan's going to think that he is steamrolling over this world. He's going to have every military under his control. He's going to have all of his evil workers of iniquity, you know, putting forth everything in terms of healthcare and education. And even education is going to take a huge, huge hit in terms of the way that you do education. It's not going to look like, there's no more, you know, apple on the teacher's desk and sharpen your number six pencils and, you know, your box of crayons in kindergarten. No, 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 no. That's all going away.
Number two pencils.
Is it number two? I thought it was number six pencils.
At least in California, they were number two pencils.
I don't know. Anyway, whatever number it is. but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
The way that we look at education when we were children.
It's all downloadable.
That's it. And your education, everything's going to be focused on technology because this generation needs to be able to communicate through a medium. And Satan does not want people congregating together because that's how God designed it. God designed family, God designed friends, God designed communication, he designed face-to-face. Because there's so much more about a human being that can be gleaned, mm-hmm, when you're in the presence of that person.
Yep.
There's an authenticity there that can't be denied. You can look at a person and they can tell you, oh, I'm fine. And then you look at them and you say, come on, tell me. You're not fine. I know you're not. A computer can't do that. They don't have that because that's spiritual. It's the spirit picking up on the spirit of the person. So Satan's going to put up a barrier so that we can't see that.
Yep.
And you're only left to see it through this medium. So he's going to do everything in his power to keep humans as far apart as possible and get them used to living in an augmented reality that's pretty close to, you know, he's going to say it's pretty close to reality, but it really isn't. It's very unnatural. And therefore, there's a lot of room for lying and miscommunication. Just ask anybody who has ever done online dating. I've heard horror stories from friends that have divorced and gone online looking for love. I mean, they take things the way they need it emotionally.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily the way that it's intended. And so there is huge, huge gaps in understanding through this medium.
Well, this medium existed before COVID, but it was COVID that forced the world into quarantine and forced the world to get behind the computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is now considered normal life.
Right.
This is the normalization of a major paradigm shift
mm-hmm.
for how humanity relates to one another.
They're not even teaching handwriting in schools anymore because they're teaching children in grade school
to type. Why should you handwrite when you can use a keyboard and mouse? When you can speak to the computer and it will type for you.
Yeah.
Now what?
Tammy brought to light something that she read today that
mm-hmm.
it does. It jumps off the page at you when you read it. And it's from Isaiah. Isaiah 13 verses 11 through 13. And she said, and I agree, and I'll go back and do that. She said, read the whole chapter for context. But in these two verses, from Isaiah, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, those false prophets,
and lay low
the haughtiness of the terrible, Bill Gates, Schwabi, so many. I mean, the list goes on. And even those whose names are not public, those families, God knows who you are. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. He's going to make a man, a mortal, rare. Finding a human that has their bloodline intact is going to be very rare.
That's why it's called the remnant.
So thank you, Tammy, for sharing that. It does jump off the page.
Sure does. The gold of Ophir. I think it was in December, we talked about that. It was considered the most pure gold in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It was in that time. If you were able to assess the percentage, it was what we consider today as 99.99% pure gold.
Yeah.
That's what the gold of Ophir was.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The futurists. And I didn't put any links to futurists in the magazine, but if you're at all inclined in that direction, just do a search and look for papers and articles published by futurists. And just keep in mind that they're not taking anything from God. They're not referencing God. And read through all of this. Not all of it. But I mean, you know, read through samples of it. You'll get the common thread running through all of them. But they're false prophets. And yet the world listens to them. The world puts them on television, on the mainstream. They create television programs around them. And it's much like, I mean, several of them are cosmologists. Most of science is based on empiricism. Now the shift to what they call rational, which is more computer driven. It's a mathematical modeling, rational design. But most of science originated and builds upon and has built upon for centuries upon theories. And I think I said this a few years ago. Imagine going into your employer one day, going to your boss, close the door, sit down behind closed doors with the boss and say, "Boss, I have a few theories. I have a few theories about how you could run this business better." And so the boss says, "Okay, let me hear them." And you spout forth your theories, and you may even have them written out and diagrammed and photographed and backed up with statistics, and it all looks great. And then he finally says to you, "Yeah, but they're still theories. Show me the proof." Well, this gets down to the nub of the empirical process, which is all theoretical. How do you define proof? You see, here's the rub in science. Proof, as defined in science, is based upon the theories that went before. It's all quicksand. It's all a slippery slope. And even if theories are then experimentally proven, meaning in the scientific method, you have three separate repetitions of the experiment. And it is done by different groups of people, but they're following exactly your specified process. And if the outcome is identical in each of those three repetitions, then they can consider the experiment valid. They consider the experiment based on a theory. There is theoretical physicists and experimental physicists. Then it is considered to be proven, and therefore you can now call the proof a law of science. And then they build upon this law of law of law. But now we're shifting away from the experimental, the empirical, and we're shifting to computer rational modeling based upon statistical modeling in the computer in silico, whether it's biology or metallurgy, whatever. It's all shifting to computer modeling, but it's still theoretical. You can describe something mathematically. It's done all the time. But just because you change the language that you put forth a theory in does not make it a proof.
I mean, think about it. What would it take for our Lord to overturn even one of their laws, like gravity?
Oh, yeah.
And for them to all of a sudden discover, whoops,
hey, Jesus is ascending to the Father.
You know,
I don't think there's any gravity.
Yeah, electromagnetism. Yeah. So they're about to witness some things that they are not going to be able to explain. And so what will they do? They won't explain them. Even when the truth comes forward, they will stick to their lies because they all agree, and it's like a den of thieves. They all have to, we can't be all look like fools, therefore we won't say anything about it, and we will keep this information to ourselves. There's honor among these thieves who rob humans of truth. But here's the good thing. As a child of God, that truth will be made known to you through the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We don't need whatever is being propagated. We have the Holy Spirit. I know what God told me about this anti-venom.
Yeah.
He made it so clear, and he brought me everything that I needed to be able to show what this is.
Yeah.
It may never make mainstream, but that's not my goal. I simply share what God gives to me with you. We research it further, and we bring it to God's people and say to them, you know what? Pray about this and see what the Holy Spirit says to you about it.
Yep.
I mean, we're not sensational people. We're not out doing conferences and prophesying and taking people's money at, you know, at these conferences, prophecy and tickling their ears with good words. We've had not good information to be able to share with people. The only good that comes from it is the understanding that we have a Savior who is coming and who's going to right all of these horrible things that we're seeing and give us the power to get through it.
You know, I was out feeding the rabbits earlier today. I was taking a break from the magazine, which the magazine will be out tomorrow morning. We're going to do a final proofing tomorrow morning. Just too tired to do it tonight.
After coffee.
So I was out feeding the rabbits. This is just completely off topic, but I want to share this with you.
Jimber bimber.
There are two rabbits there. Okay. No, they're not doing what rabbits do. They're eating. Okay. This used to be a garden.
Yeah.
It has been devastated. But that's by
design.
And decimated. It's fenced in. The rabbits love it. I put them out there first thing in the morning. They are in heaven. It's the Garden of Eden. It had plenty of things in there left from you doing your harvesting.
Yeah.
And we just let them have free reign all day long until the sun starts to go down, and I put them in. But for some reason, I was reminded of a movie, I think from 1962, out of Britain, that I had seen as a kid, and it was called The Day of the Triffids. So look at the plant. This is supposed to be, you know, a killer plant. It's taking over the world. It came from space, okay? All right, so you see that. And go back to what my garden looks like. It looks like the Triffids.
Yeah, it does.
And bet those rabbits, they just had a great
Brussels
time.
Those were Brussels sprouts at one time.
They were.
Yeah.
It looks like a waste.
The broccoli.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, no, they just love running around in there. It's like a really big bunny playpen.
Yeah, it really.
But you got to clean it up before snow starts.
Yeah.
Which may be very soon.
I think we've only got probably 3 or 4 weeks before we see snow on the ground again.
Could be.
Our barometer is, we're in a valley, and so the tops of the mountains on the sides of the valley are sort of our barometer as to snow, because we have one peak that is about 3,800 feet, and so it's the first one to get snow. And the locals tell us that when we see snow on the top of that mountain, then we have about a week to 2 weeks before the snow begins in the valley below. So we're going to watch for that. But it's been getting cold.
And
tonight
it's
nice.
It's going to be freezing.
Yep, and I welcome it. I don't do well in the heat,
so I enjoy this. No.
You know, we also, and we'll kind of wrap up early here tonight, but I want to talk about the two farms that we go to. I don't want to cite them by name, but they're over in Vermont.
One is on the border
Vermont,
here in New Hampshire.
I just don't want to give away names. So,
is that a pin on your jacket here? No. I think it's probably your plastic tag that you didn't take off yet.
So, we live very close to the border of Vermont, and that border is delineated by the Connecticut River, which is weird to me why it's called the Connecticut River. It's not even close to Connecticut. But anyway, so we visit a farm that is on the New Hampshire side of the river and another one that's on the Vermont side of the river. It's only about a 20-minute drive to each of them. And one of them, we've come to know some of the people that work there, mm-hmm. and they're Christians. Mm-hmm. And I would like to ask for prayer.
Yes.
For the husband of one of the workers at the farm.
Diane and Malcolm.
He is a local pastor in the small town, and he's diagnosed with metastatic cancer, bone mm-hmm. cancer. So, what were their names again?
Diane is the wife, and Malcolm. That's her husband's name, Malcolm.
Malcolm.
And, we prayed with her right in the store. They have, you go in there, and it's just a family farm, and they have an old-fashioned cash register. And then they have the little side thing that's electronic, you can put your card in to pay, or you can write a check, or you can leave cash. But they said, we do the honor system here. And they have two calculators on the counter next to the cash register, and you just add up your purchase, and you either put your check in into the cash register yourself. And there's somebody in the office right there, but they're usually there just to talk or to answer any questions that you might have if you put your card in and it's not working or you don't know what to choose or whatever.
Or if you put cash in the cash drawer of the register, you make your own change.
Right, right.
And it's an old wood with internal metal components, but it's an outside wood encased cash register. You
yeah.
push the buttons, it goes shaking, shaking, shaking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it cracks me up, the honor system.
It's
but they are Christian.
They are, and they're good people. And so I want to pray that God will bless that business and increase their production and their provisions, and that God will reward them abundantly. For what they do. And I said to Anthony, we could drive down and go to the big name supermarket and we do. I mean, we do if we have to, but this is so much nicer. It feels rewarding to be able to go and shop locally, to support your local farmers and farm stands. And this particular farm, they have dairy meats. They process mm-hmm. their own meats.
They have steer.
Pork,
they have
beef.
They have beef cattle.
Chicken.
And dairy cattle.
Yep. They have chicken and pork. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to make a pot roast tomorrow night with a chuck roast that I bought there. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice. And then we go across the river and we go into Vermont and we go to get our produce. And we've developed this little routine on Saturdays where we go and we stop at the coffee truck that's parked there first. And then we get our maple flavored coffee. And then we go inside and the produce is nothing short of amazing. And they've just got greenhouses that just go and go and go. And I think they stay open pretty much until, I think,
until
end of October.
First snow.
And they have
but again,
homemade quiches there.
It's a family-run farm. We were talking to one of the sons yesterday, and a very nice young man. And he was telling us that they purchased the farm about 10 years ago from the original family. It had been generation after generation. We're talking about that farm and the other farm, all built about the same time that our house was built, which was in the early 1800s. And it's great to support families and a way of life and healthy food. And it's a throwback. You have the rose-colored glasses about the past, but it's truly a throwback that they themselves are conducting themselves as their ancestors did. Mm. That they conduct themselves in a polite and friendly and conservative and God-fearing manner. I mean, they're all, as far as I'm concerned, good witnesses.
It's funny, we were talking when we grabbed a burger the other night, and you were talking about how your biological father was an engineer and yet your family also went back to being farmers in Germany.
On my mother's side.
Yeah, and that's what I had on my side in Ireland was farmers.
Yep.
And poets. And, you know, it's interesting to see. You know, I've never, ever done any of those ancestry.com dot things. I would never do that. I never wanted to give, like, a part of myself over to science to do those things. I know a lot of people did, but I never felt that that was something that should ever be floated out there. I mean, they can pick up your DNA from anywhere if they really wanted to.
Yeah.
But I would not willingly give it to them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so...
So we count our blessings to live in such a nice area. And we there's a house across the street that was built the same time that this house was. Built by the same family. It was aunt and uncle across the street built their farmhouse the same time this was by the other half of the family. Well, that house sold almost immediately. Same weekend that they put it on the market, it was sold. And we met the husband and wife couple, and they're very nice people. We thank the Lord for bringing nice people into our little area here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 6 houses. That's not the whole town, but just in this one little enclave of 6 homes. And then it spreads out from there. We are fortunate to have really nice people move in to this group of 6. And I think, you know, everybody will get along just fine.
Yeah.
And that's crucial in these times, to have good people around you, that we can rely on each other for the little things in life and the Florida things in life.
Yeah. So I'll pray.
Yep.
Father, I thank you for this evening and for the time that... we have together. It is so precious with one another, with you, sharing with each other the inspirational answers to prayer that you bring to each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord God, that you have heard our prayers for those who are here in our online community that are suffering now from this catastrophic hurricane that hit this particular part of Florida. I asked you to watch over my stepmom, and you did, and I thank you for that. I asked you to watch over my friend down there, friends, and you did. And 2 of whom, Lord God, are right in the eye of that hurricane, and their houses are standing. And they can actually sleep in their houses. They may not have the utilities, like air conditioning, or electricity and water, but their houses are standing and did not suffer too much damage. I thank you for that. That is your providence. Lord, I pray that you would show them favor. I pray for Jen, I pray for Cindy, I pray for Drew. And I ask right now that if there are people from FEMA that go out in the streets giving out water or food or whatever, that they would find them. That they wouldn't have to travel on dangerous streets littered with downed power lines and risk their life. I just am, although I don't think there anything is running right now, but I pray that you would make distinctions for your children and that they would not have to wait extremely long periods of time for basic things like water or for fuel like gasoline and for their generators. And I pray, Father, because there are those now who are going about even what were considered safe neighborhoods at one time, and they're robbing houses and stealing generators and gasoline. And I pray now that you would set angels and have them manifest in physical form so as to make their presence known should anyone inspired by Satan to rob or steal or kill, that they would be turned away by your angels, Lord God, that you would orchestrate circumstances that would turn them away from from coming anywhere near your children's homes. I pray that they would receive their water, that their electricity will come on, that you will just send them the utilities and the resources that they need, that none of them will go hungry, none of them will get sick. They need clean water. Please find a way, Lord God, to have their water turned on. You can work miracles. You had Moses strike a rock with his staff. We pray that you would bring forth clean water for them and keep their homes sound as they await the return of life to a new normal, and to give them the patience and the grace, and to let them see your providence working in and through their life every day. They're experiencing life in a different way now, and they need the strength, because it takes a lot of effort to even accomplish simple everyday tasks when you don't have electricity. Washing clothes becomes a very laborious task. And so I pray for strength. I pray for grace. I pray for your favor, your provision, your protection, that you will just keep them and let them know that, keep reminding them that you have sheltered them from this storm and you'll shelter them going forward. You are their provider. But Lord, we're here too. And if there's anything that we can do to help, then I pray that you will place it on our hearts and in our minds, and with the abilities that we have to share our resources with those who are struggling right now. We want to help our own. And I pray that if housing is needed, if they have to leave their current home, because it's going to appear to be a very long time before electric utilities will be restored, then I pray that you would provide that home, whether it be for long or short. I pray that Cindy, who is a teacher, will continue to receive her income so that she can buy groceries. Thank you, Lord God, that she can get to a local grocery store to get what she needs just for that day. And I pray that each day it will get a little bit easier for them, and that they will become more strengthened for what becomes their new normal and their tasks. That they are going to see how necessity is the catalyst behind what some amazing inventions. And I pray that you will help them to find easier ways to do some of the harder things. And Father, for everybody who joined us tonight, it was a good reminder to go back, to hear scripture, to put in perspective, Lord God, what we see Satan doing, and not shudder or retract in fear or trembling. Perfect love casts out all fear. And so we know what it is to have your love, and we are so grateful for it. We don't deserve it. None of us do. But we are so grateful for it. And so I pray right now that you would be with each and every person here. Some have medical needs, Lord. Some have needs for employment. Some, Lord God, are struggling with emotional issues or addictions. And I pray right now that you would meet them in the privacy of their own home, in their quiet time with you, and deliver them so that Satan does not have a foothold in their life. Deliver them from multitudes of things, Lord. You know what they are. And I pray, Father, that we will come together again on Tuesday, and we can share through our online community the good things that you have done. We can share our hearts and ask for prayer and know that you are so merciful and you are so gracious that you hear. And I cannot state it enough how much you do make distinctions for your children. Help us all to remain strong. We're not out of the woods by any stretch, Lord. Things are going to get harder. Pressure is going to be applied. But I pray that as that pressure is applied, that it is only making us to be more of the diamond, Lord God, that you created us to be. That white stone with our name clearly written in it. And I pray, Father, that none of us, I pray for everyone here that none of us fall or give in to the mandates that this world is going to require, that Satan is going to try, that we would rather die than have Satan rewrite anything that you have created in us. It's bad enough, Lord, that we are as sinful as we are, and we've given in to desires and lusts of the flesh and temptations that we shouldn't have done. But you delivered us, and you showed us mercy, and we see that. And we just ask right now that you would keep us strong, because this is the last bastion. This is the last part of it. And we aren't, you know, Lord, we're weak. We can talk a tough game, but then we get moments of weakness. Help us in our weakness, that we do not capitulate to the mandates of this world. Help us to be brave and to set our face like flint, as Jesus did when he saw that cross before him and he kept going, that we will encourage one another to keep going. And so I thank you. I pray that everyone here has a peaceful night's sleep. I pray that Jen and Cindy and their daughters and their family will be kept healthy and safe, knowing that your angels guard their property, that Satan dare not try and cross the boundaries that you have set, that we are asking you to set around their properties. And help them, Lord. Show them grace and favor. Water, electricity for their needs, and housing if necessary. And we praise you because you hear us, you love us, you take very, very good care of us, and you know their needs, and you're merciful. And so we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. We'll be back together, Lord willing, on Tuesday. God bless you all.
Good night, everyone.